The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote a title and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. The chief priests of the Jews then said to Pilate, Do not write, the King of the Jews, but, This man said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and made four parts, one for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was without seam, woven from top to bottom. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture. They parted my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did this. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother, and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A bowl full of vinegar stood there, so they put a sponge full of the vinegar on hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Gospel of the Lord. What has been written has been written. Pilate unwittingly helps to fulfill all of the prophecies. These prophecies written ages ago that come to life in Christ and must have come to life. Because what is written has been written. The soldiers, too, unwittingly fulfill these prophecies. The prophecy that the clothing would be divided, that they would cast lots. The prophecy that no bone would be broken. That in his thirst he would be given vinegar. That he could count all his bones. These prophecies the soldiers really knew nothing about, and yet, in the hands of God, they become instruments of his great work. Although evil, or at the very least unwitting, they have some share in, by their acts, permitting God's great act of love for us, his offering of himself, this offering decreed from before time began, this offering prophesied, written ages ago, and what has been written must be written. But if the prophecies are fulfilled by these unwitting agents, these soldiers, by Pontius Pilate himself, how much greater is the fulfillment wrought by the friends of God, by Jesus himself, by his blessed mother, who are not unwilling, who are not unwitting, but indeed chose this great act of love, knowing the consequences and knowing their love. And it goes back to the most ancient prophecy of all. You may remember the fall of our first parents. This fall was a great work of the devil, and it began with division. Adam and Eve are tempted one at a time. When the devil comes for Eve, Adam is not there. He is not by her side. She is alone. And when she turns back to Adam, it is not as a friend, but as an enemy, as a seducer, as a betrayer. The devil began with division, but chose to turn their offspring permanently against each other. And so the curse that they are given, Eve is told that your desire shall be for your husband, and he will dominate you. This relationship between the first man and the first woman, made to be a great relationship of love, is by the devil's work turned to a relationship of domination, of enslavement. And one cannot be friends with a slave. It is almost a permanent state of division, even if they will be together. And yet this ancient curse comes between two great promises, two of the greatest promises that we know. First, the curse of the serpent, that God will put enmity between her, between him and the woman, and that her offspring shall crush his head. And second, by Adam's own word, Eve receives her name because she is mother of all the living. And so, despite the curse, despite the damage given by the devil, life goes on, and always with the hope of redemption, the redemption to come at the proper time. And when the time was fulfilled, when many generations of life had entered into this world and gone forth from it, the Son of God became man, the new Adam, in the womb of the Blessed Mother, the new Eve. And it is at the foot of the cross that this ancient division, this ancient curse, is entirely undone. Because here on the cross, most of all, they should have been divided. And most of us, if we were crucified, we would not think much about those around us. We would not be able to offer our love for them. Our mind would be taken up by our own pain, our own misery, our own despair. And yet, it is on the cross that Jesus looks down upon his mother and even in death provides for her good. And he sets John to take care of her. And the Blessed Mother, for her part, should have been most of all horrified at this moment on the cross. We might expect that she could have stayed home. Why follow her son? Why watch every blow land on him? Why watch every drop of blood fall? It's a horrifying thing, and yet she chose to be with him in the worst of it all, not because he needed her support, but because she was his mother. And she must give him her love, especially at the worst moment. And so Jesus and Mary remain together, offering each other this great love, even at this most painful of moments, when they ought to have been most of all divided from each other, and the devil cannot get between them. We ourselves are caught up in both the curse and the redemption. Even if we have been baptized and original sin does not remain, its effects are with us. We suffer, we are miserable, we are tempted to all kinds of sin, we are weak, we are caught up in the pleasures of the senses, we can't turn our minds to God, and we find that we live lives which may not make any sense. It's a story that we cannot write ourselves, and again, our greatest attempts are met with failure. And yet we come to the cross which does not make the curse go away, but in fact redeems it and gives something far greater. in our own life, we may indeed be lonely. We may not have enough to get on by ourselves. And yet we are given this promise that Christ has poured out his blood for us and has given us, through John, a mother most perfect, a mother most loving, who loves her son until the end. And she will now be mother of all the living. And so the ancient curse is finally undone, and the redemption of God is brought to fruition. And so in the midst of life, in the midst of the crosses we bear, we may forget again and again what God is doing. We may believe ourselves to be alone. We may get caught up in the despair and the disappointment. And yet, again and again, we must remember, and most especially at the foot of the cross, where this great love was poured out for us, that God had a plan to be revealed in the fullness of time, a plan for himself and for his mother, a plan for us, children of God and sons and daughters of Mary. This plan is for our good. This plan is for our redemption. And however great the cross might be, what is written has been written.